AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Gauden, former voice of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and you're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. Go Jackets, go ACC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver, he's Mike McDaniel. Mike! Got the college football playoff. We've got some bowl games to talk about. How you doing? You ready to go?
Good. Yeah. Ready to go. It's late. Good. It's late. We're recording.
It is late.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. Always good stuff. We are recording. We are at youtube.com/@the ACC football podcast. This is not a live recording. This is a recording that's going to be posted later. So shout out to the people that are joining us as you watch this on YouTube or, you know, wherever you listen to it in your audio formats. Please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. We would appreciate that. We are going to talk about some games here. We've got obviously a first round playoff game with Miami heading to play on the road against Texas A&M. We'll get into that in a minute. Producer Scott with us. Producer Scott, how you doing?
Head up, baby.
Head up. Head up. And I'm
doing well.
I found the GIF last night of it was Kevin Garnett saying anything is possible.
Anything was last night. Doing well. Blue Hens of Delaware got their first bowl win in school history last night in the 68 Ventures Bowl, triumphing over the Raging Cajuns. So that was cool. Work slowing down for the year. Bowl game starting up. Playoff this weekend. Playoffs. It's gonna be a good. It's gonna be a good holiday season.
Yeah, I was listening to something a different podcast a couple hours ago, and they said something like, "Oh yeah, like on Friday, we've got the first round playoff game that Friday night," and I was like, "Oh, that's tomorrow." Somehow that just hadn't really fully struck me yet. So, we record this Thursday evening, late in the evening on the East Coast. It will be posted, I would assume, on Friday. Hopefully be posted on Friday, but we'll find out.
Yes.
We are posted. Thank you, Scott. You're the best.
Producer says yes.
Yeah. We are going to talk about, we've got a Friday bowl game. It's the Gasparilla Bowl with the NC State Wolfpack. We've got Miami playing on Saturday in the first round of the playoff. And then we've got Louisville playing in the Boca Raton Bush's Beans Bowl, something like that.
I think it's the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl
of beans,
which correct. you get in free if you bring a can of beans. So if you're down there in Boca Raton, Florida, take a can of Bush beans at the game. You get in free.
Which, yeah. I have an aunt and uncle who up until like a year ago, massive Louisville fans. They for the longest time they were in Louisville, season ticket holders. They were living in Fort Myers, like pretty close by. They would have easily gotten into this game for free, except they moved back to Louisville like a year ago. So
I just think it's really funny that it says the tickets are as low as $49. A can of Bush's beans is not $49.
I don't know, man. Inflation.
Yeah. Supply chain. Who knows? I mean, crypto could be anything. Like,
is there Bush coin?
Bean coin.
Careful. I was going to say. That reminds me of a real interview recently.
We are 3.5 minutes into this recording and we are a little bit off the rails.
We'll leave that alone. Yep.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Should we jump into a couple of previews here,
fellas? We shall.
Before we get any further off the rails. Do we want to start with the playoff game?
We can.
Sure. Before we jump into the preview, if you guys want to live chat with us, we started a Discord. Links in the chat.
Yeah.
Join the Discord. We've got general chats. We've got team-specific threads. It's pretty low base right now. A lot of you listening live that are live commenters have already joined, so thank you for that. It's free to join. Join the community. We're going to be in there all off-season and bowl season chatting about the games going on. There's a game day thread specific, so tomorrow during all of, well, during the Gasparilla Bowl tomorrow, which we'll talk about, and the rest of the games this weekend and the rest of the games this bowl season will be in the threads, so let's chat about it.
Absolutely. Go find us. The Discord link will be in the description of this show, as well as all of the other shows moving forward, both the audio and the YouTube format. Shout out to producer Scott for making this happen. Like, that was his idea, his brainchild, and it has been fantastic so far. We've got only around a dozen people in there, but it's been a lot of fun from a community building standpoint. So I know there's been a lot of people that have been long-term listeners to us. And, you know, Twitter is kind of only as ever effective as it can be from a community building standpoint. But so far, I mean, we've got Stanford, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. We've got fans of a lot of different places in the Discord with us. So please come join us. We'd love to have you, fans of those schools or any other from the ACC. Invite your friends. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a little bit of other, you know, potential audio content on there as well, potentially as we get set up to do shows. So it could be another fun engagement tool. But come join us there, Discord. Go find the link in the description of this episode.
Yes. Yep. It's free like everything else we do.
Yep.
Yeah. Except for the ad reads. Those aren't free to...
Those aren't. Steven, those are not free. Mainly. Yeah. Shout out, Steven.
All right. Let's talk about a game. Noon, ABC, Saturday, September the 20th. It is the number 10 Miami Hurricanes on the road, taking on the number 7 Texas A&M Aggies at Kyle Field. Miami, a 3.5-point road underdog here. Total is 48.5. A lot of interesting angles to this game. We talked about it before, Mike, a little bit of, I feel like these teams are fairly similar.
Yeah.
Good defensively, quarterbacks that are pretty hot and cold. Some very capable skill talent on the offenses, generally good in the trenches. This feels like a good matchup. The one thing that I wonder about here, well, let me, before I get to that, what is your initial take here, Mike, on this matchup in this game?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Very similar teams. It makes it a difficult game to handicap. Mm-hmm. But let me start with this. I'd like to congratulate Mario Craver, Texas A&M wide receiver, on inking a contract extension that makes him the highest paid wide receiver in Texas A&M history, according to Pete Nakos at On3. Can we stop this shit with it, with like tweeting it like this?
I hate it too. I'm like, I know you're getting paid, but why?
Can we stop like pretending this is like a collectively bargained thing?
I mean, we're like 3 days removed from everyone being mad that it was, oh, such and such receiver has re-signed with USC. And now in less than a week, we've gone from player re-signs to highest paid player in team history.
Tell me the money, Pete. Tell me the money. How much? We've
lost the plot.
Lost the plot. Broken contain. This is all so stupid. Anyway.
Yep.
I have a story, right? How Miami can upset Texas A&M that's publishing to Sports Illustrated, probably by the time you guys are listening to this, that I've worked on. There's a couple things at play here. Number one, I think this game, what's really going to determine who wins this game is who actually wins the battle in the trenches, because these are two of the better fronts on both sides of the football in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M has 41 sacks on the season. That's
the highest mark in college football. No team has more. Miami's offensive line is, as advertised, outstanding, really good. Miami's defensive line, really good. Texas A&M's offensive line, I think it was, I'm going to confirm this. They have only allowed 34 tackles for loss this season. Texas A&M's offensive line, that's tops in the FBS. So good? It really is. I mean, every game is won and lost in the trenches. I think everybody's talking about like the JMU Oregon game, right? And how on paper James Madison is just going to get dogged up front. We'll find out if that's going to end up being true or not. But I think on paper, that's looking like it's probably going to be the case. Here, it's a matter of which team is going to be able to kind of impose their will, which is why I think this game could be a low scoring slugfest, or it could also just be like a high scoring points bonanza, right? Depending on how you look at it, especially when you look at the explosiveness of these two offenses as well. So there's a lot of things at play here, right? And I think we're going to find out really quickly, is Miami's rushing defense, which has been one of the best in college football this year, is it a function of who they've played, or are they actually that good? Because, buddy, this A&M rushing attack is damn good. They average almost 200 yards per game. They have a top 25, top 30 offense on the ground. And they have a quarterback that is an extra hat in the run game that makes things really, really difficult, especially when plays break down. So,
yeah,
there are a lot of angles to this for sure.
Yeah. No, and that's, I mean, that's one of the key, I think, handicapping aspects of this game is the quarterback play on both sides. Because to your point, Mike, on the A&M side, you've got Marcel Reed, who a little bit of a wild card in the passing game. I mean, he can make some throws. He can make some terrible decisions. You kind of don't really know what you're going to get one way or the other there.
Yep.
But certainly will add something in the run game. And I'm going down and thinking through all the teams that Miami has played so far this year. I mean, when they played SMU, SMU won that game. And I don't know that Kevin Jennings was really the run threat in that game that he has been, because he wasn't healthy.
Right.
They played Florida State, where, yeah, Tommy Castellanos was a run threat, but they held the Noles to 7 points, basically, in the first three plus quarters of that game. I think that was a late comeback situation that made it look close. But I don't know if Miami has seen an offense so far this year that is this complete from a, at least ability for the quarterback to hurt you in the run game and also in the pass game. So that's maybe worth considering. The other thing I would throw out there is that Texas A&M, let's not forget, like, yeah, they had the win week three at Notre Dame. This is, for the record, this is the Commander in Chief's Trophy game between Miami, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M this year, where these two teams both beat Notre Dame. But the list of teams that A&M beat in the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, was like roughly the bottom seven teams in the league. I mean, they beat like four SEC teams that aren't going to a bowl game. I think by my count, that's what, Auburn, Florida, Arkansas, and South Carolina.
Which, Joey, by the same token, I mentioned the thing about Miami's defense. Like, we're going to find out if that was a function of their schedule. We're also going to find out if Texas A&M's FBS leading 41 sacks was a function of their schedule. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Exactly.
Works
exactly.
Both ways.
I mean, you can, to that point, it absolutely works both ways when you're assessing that A&M had a pretty easy SEC schedule and Miami had an ACC schedule, right? Like,
yep.
If we're all being honest, that's what it is. So I don't know. I have questions. The quarterback battle to me is very interesting. Obviously, you've got the Marcel Reed, who is a little bit less experienced, adds a little bit more in the run game, a little bit more of a wild card in the passing game. And then you've got Carson Beck, more experienced, honestly has not done his best work in the biggest games of his career, even going back to his time at Georgia. But the very evenly matched situation here. I'm gonna lean towards just taking the points with Miami and thinking that they at least keep this close. They could potentially win this game. It is not lost on me the head coaching battle here. I think in a close game, I would substantially rather have Mike Elko than Mario Cristobal here.
Important point. Yeah, important point.
For the record. But yeah, I don't know. This should be a lot of fun. And I think, as we said before, this is probably the single best TV show game of the first round in terms of just, even if you have no rooting interest, this should be a fun game to watch and an interesting chess match to a certain degree. This is a really good, I think, test too, by the way. We came into the year saying that Miami had to get better on defense, and Corey Heatherman has done a really good job as their defensive coordinator. This is prove it time for them because they've got the horses on defense. Can you get them organized and can you put together a full 60 minutes? Maybe find a way to turn this into a low scoring kind of slog. I think this A&M offense can be stopped, but you've got to be on your game to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I can't shake, and it's because they've been so disciplined all year, is like Miami going to be disciplined in the biggest game we've seen them play in literal years? Can they be relied upon in that scenario as a program? And that's separate because we've seen them play in big games like minus Mario Cristobal. That's separate from the Mario Cristobal of it all, which is the whole game management piece of it.
Yeah.
They are good enough to win this game for sure. They can win this football game. I don't know, man. I gotta like rely on Mario Cristobal coach team to be ready for this moment. It's a really, really hard proposition.
And Carson Beck to go on the road and not turn the ball over three times.
He's got 10 interceptions this year and six of them came in the two losses. You know what I mean? Like he's been, he's been really good until he hasn't been.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with A&M. I think I'm taking A&M. I'm just going to lay them. I think close competitive game. The thing I just keep coming back to is I feel like the teams are so evenly matched. I think they're evenly matched up front. I think they both have good defenses. I think A&M's defense has done a little bit worse of a job giving up explosives, especially in the running game, right? Miami's got obviously some backs that can do some damage. So that's not lost on me. But the thing I keep coming back to is if all things are equal, Marcel Reed is a game breaker, right? Like he has shown the ability to turn games upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he makes a play or two with his legs in this game. Maybe it's designed run. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just when the play breaks down, he just makes something happen. That's an element that I cannot rely on with Miami, with explosive as their offense has been, right? That's something I cannot rely on Carson Beck to do, right? My questions about Carson Beck are you going to take care of the football? And
yeah.
Marcel Reed has those questions too. Like he'll throw it to the wrong team for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But from a play breaking down, extra hat in the running game, Miami's got to play disciplined four quarters of football defensively, which they've done for the most part this year. But can they do it on the road on a stage like this? I don't know, man. I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm just going to lay in with A&M. And I don't feel great about it by any stretch. And I don't know how this game is going to go, by the way. Like I mentioned this, but like the total being 48.5, no idea. Not a clue. You lean under with the defenses, but you can see this getting like pointsy too with the explosiveness of the two offenses as well.
And both defenses will allow an explosive play here and there. And it doesn't take a whole lot of that to get to a game where both teams are in the upper 20s and you've gone over. I realize that, you know, two teams with good defenses in the playoffs, we want to all go under. Let me check the weather in College Station because it was really nice here today. Yeah, it's going to be 76 and sunny on Saturday. Yeah,
that'll be
so. Yeah, that's really good conditions. So I think I kind of lean over here from a total standpoint, but I'm with you. I don't feel strongly enough either way. I feel like if one of these teams is plus two in turnovers, they're going to win the game. And that could be either one of them as far as I'm concerned.
It could. Yeah, it could. Yep.
You know, if it's 3-1 or something by the end of the game, like, yeah, that's going to be a winner. So I'm going to take Miami in the points to keep it close, if not win the game. Entirely possible. And here's the other thing I'll say, Mike, while we're talking about this. If I think about the full list of 12 teams in the playoff and who is actually able to go like run the gauntlet and win the whole thing, I kind of think both of these teams are in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more so than like the 6 seed Ole Miss. Probably more than the 8 or 9 seed Oklahoma and Alabama. Like,
yeah,
whoever comes out of this game, I like their chances better than any of those three teams.
I do too, because I've seen more consistency out of both units, offense and defense, right? More complementary football on a consistent basis than I've seen out of Oklahoma, whose defense is excellent. That's offense goes through stretches where they absolutely suck. Alabama's offense, which of late last month, Ty Simpson has looked incredibly ordinary when he was looking outstanding. That offense was a lot of trouble to stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Defenses were having a lot of issues. And then Ole Miss has got their own different scenario with really talented team, but off field just chaos. So I'm in total agreement with you. Like, Elko's a good coach, very talented team. Cristobal's a good coach for as much shit as we give him. Very talented team. And both these teams are capable of playing complementary football. I have a feeling this is the best game we see this weekend. I have a feeling.
For sure.
The Oklahoma-Alabama game's a rematch. Could that be good? Sure. Tulane-Ole Miss, yeah, it's a rematch, but like, it's different because of circumstances. That game could get interesting just because, I mean, you know, if you had to pick one G5 upset this weekend, you know, maybe that's the one you pick. I don't think it's a great chance of happening, but it could happen. And I think Oregon's going to beat the absolute piss out of James Madison. I had to find the words that would be appropriate for this time of night on this podcast. Thank God we're recording. We're not live.
Yeah. So we know how excited Scott is to go and add bleeps in after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't even do that anymore. I just mark it as explicit and move on.
Yeah.
That's a lot easier. Just to be clear, because one thing I didn't really say here is the reason I say that about these two teams is specifically their play in the trenches. Offensive, defensive lines, I think, here are absolutely capable of carrying them a full, it would have to be 4 games for these two teams.
Yeah.
I would not say that about Ole Miss. I would not say that about Alabama or Oklahoma, at least on both sides of the ball from that standpoint. So anyways, Miami plus 3.5 for me, A&M minus the 3.5 for Mike. I'll lean over the 48.5, but again, nothing, no strong feelings there. Are you over or under here, Mike?
I'll lean over.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, highly recommend watching this game. Make some time, watch this one, because this is the game in the first round, I would have to think.
Yeah.
Which is clearly the thing that I say before this is like a 24-point blowout, and all of a sudden Tulane has Ole Miss in the fourth quarter in hell. And
yeah,
you know, who knows?
It is a playoff after all.
Yeah, of course. Man. Should we do you want to quickly pick the rest of the first round games of the playoff? Just
sure.
To have it on the record?
Sure.
Friday night, 8:00, ABC, Alabama, number 9, Alabama at number 8, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a 1.5-point favorite. Oklahoma won this game the first time. Was that in Tuscaloosa, I think?
That was in Tuscaloosa.
Give me Alabama to win that game.
Hard to beat the same team. How many times have we said it? Hard to beat the same team twice, especially recently.
Mm-hmm. And what's the line?
Sooners Oklahoma minus 1.5. Yeah.
Bama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm on Bama. No, I am. Well.
Take him.
Take him. Yeah.
Oklahoma's offense has been awful, like awful, awful. And them winning that game the first time was like, I think they got like a punt return for a touchdown and also like a defensive touchdown or something to score 24 points, basically. So good luck making that happen a second time.
I agree. Yeah.
But both of those teams kind of incomplete to the point that, like, Oklahoma's defense is outstanding, but I just don't think that either of these teams is complete enough to go win the next game against, I guess that would be Indiana, which
right.
is a wild thing to be saying, but makes complete sense in 2025.
Yeah. Yep. All the tide, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Scott, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's all that talk. Kalen DeBoer is going to go to Michigan. It's just, they weren't supposed to be in the playoff. They already lost at Oklahoma once. Like, look, would I be upset if they lost? No.
Yeah.
But that's just not how this works.
Yeah. Also, they've had a couple weeks off and they've needed it bad. You know, like they have not played. I was the first to complain about Bama being in with how they've looked. But if you get a Ty Simpson that looks right, this becomes a different Alabama team with the way they've played defense this year. You know, it's been more vintage Crimson Tide defensively than it has been in a while. And offensively, I think what made Alabama so interesting early in the year is Ty Simpson looked like a Heisman contender. And then he fell off considerably starting in like mid-October. Basically, after they beat Georgia, he started kind of production started dipping a little bit and started throwing a bunch of picks. And if we get the Ty Simpson we got in like September, early October, this becomes a very different Alabama team, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I would
Holy
agree
Seahawks,
that.
By the way.
Uh-oh.
Game is
the,
lit.
The live game?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, crap. That's the other thing I forgot to mention about Texas A&M, by the way. Colin Klein, their offensive coordinator, is leaving to go be the head coach at his alma mater, Kansas State. Coaching this game, but potentially distracted. Mentioned it.
Yep. Yep. Several coaches and or staffs are distracted and or absent, unfortunately.
In this entire playoff. Which brings us to Oxford, where the soon-to-be coachless number 11 Tulane Green Wave are taking on the soon-to-be coachless number 6 Ole Miss Rebels. I think they've all figured out their new coach by now. But yeah, you know, just coaching transitions left and right in this playoff. Ole Miss, a 17.5 point favorite here against the Green Wave. There's a little piece of me that kind of wants to take the points with the Green Wave, not because like I think they've got any remote shot of winning this game, but just like who's calling the plays for Ole Miss's offense? And like, is that going to be as remotely smooth as it has been under Lane?
It is Charlie Weiss, who not
junior, right?
Junior, not not pushing 70 and 400 pound Charlie Weiss. We're his son.
How did he make it this long?
Relax.
I got a really funny story about Charlie Weiss for another day.
The Discord.
Is it relevant?
It's relevant to the comment you just made about being 400 pounds.
Okay. Fair enough. Charlie Weiss Jr. is back, but he's not usually like he was the offensive coordinator all year, but Lane was the play caller. So what's that going to look like?
Yeah. And that's one of the things, like, I don't know that you can really quantify the quote-unquote magic of being a play caller. Like, there's just a sense of feel that a person has to have. And, like, you can be running the same offense and the same formations and the same plays and the same checks and, like, all that stuff. But, like, it's just different when there's a different guy in there who's making the calls. So, yep. I think that's worth considering here. This is going to be dumb. Give me Tulane in the 17.5. John Summerall still on the sideline for Tulane in this game.
Yep.
He's a defensive guy. I'm guessing they're going to be playing with their hair on fire. I think both these teams might be playing with their hair on fire for different reasons. But let's just say that Tulane keeps this. This might be like specifically a 17-point game. But give me the green wave.
Yeah, give me the green wave. Again, you're playing a team twice in a year. I know Ole Miss won by a million the first time. I feel like not having your head coach and having an interim is going to play a factor in a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. We'll find out.
I need to go look up one more thing. And I'm not going to bring it up right now. I'm going to bring it up later.
Okay.
That's a little tease for you.
Man, that was... You have me on the edge of my seat with that.
I like Ole Miss to win.
Yeah.
I think the cover.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things where this round of the playoffs, for the most part, the old Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, I think, was one where they would talk about this is not the place to be picking underdogs to win.
Right.
And honestly, in a lot of cases, this is not the place to be picking underdogs to cover. This is where the better team shows it by a lot. So,
yeah.
Again, I'm a little bit iffy picking Tulane. I would not recommend betting that at all.
Yeah, no, I would not.
If I'm betting anything, it's the thing I'm going to mention later, which I'm not going to do right now.
Okay.
All right. Last one, 7:30 on, by the way, that was on TNT, HBO Max, and True TV, which,
yeah, you know, why?
It's not March, so.
I forget whatever deal they signed.
But did you say it's going to be on Cinemax? Is that what you said?
HBO Max, but basically.
I think this was.
That would be some interesting late night programming.
I think this was like a avoiding the monopoly lawsuit kind of situation where like, oh, well, ESPN doesn't own the whole playoff, but when you tune into TNT at 3:30 on Saturday, it's going to look like an ESPN broadcast for the most part. It's like a TNT studio show at halftime. And
wait a minute. Is that Sean McDonough and Molly McGrath?
Yeah. For TNT Sports, everybody. Yeah, exactly.
I'll do the charade, so, just like we do with the most lucrative signing in program history. But nobody's gonna tell us how much, of course. Don't want to do that.
The most notable thing that I remember from the TNT broadcast last year during bowl games was I think most of the ESPN broadcasts were in 1080p and these were in like 720p. Like,
yeah.
Like noticeably worse quality.
Yeah,
trying to watch these games. So
it's like watching games on ACC Network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where you could be filming it from your house if you wanted to be, and it would be probably a very similar quality.
Watch it on Facebook, streamed off some guy's phone, probably. Yeah. All right, last one. 7:30 on TNT, HBO Max, and True TV. The number 5 Oregon Ducks hosting the number 12 James Madison Dukes. Oregon, a 20.5-point favorite, total 47.5. By the way, we told you when Louisville beat James Madison, kind of struggled with him, but beat him earlier this year. It's like, that's a playoff aspirational James Madison team. Well, here we are, Mike. We were right. Never early. Never early. Or never wrong, just early. That's what I'm trying to say.
Never early. I was going to say we were very early, actually.
Yeah, very early. Oregon in the under here, by the way. James, this is you're going to be watching Christmas movies by halftime of this game. Like,
yeah,
this is not this one.
Lamb with the quacks.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb.
And I'm going to say and the reason I say under 47.5 is because I think Oregon might have to do almost all the scoring in this game.
Yeah, I would agree. Big duck energy here.
Mm-hmm.
Big duck energy.
You with us, Scott? Duke's pulling the upset?
No. God, no. God, no.
Just want to make sure you're still alive.
Hey, biggest win for James Madison, A, making the playoff, B, their Twitter has been on a heater lately, making fun of Notre Dame and acting... I saw the one. There was a, I think,
JMU Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fox Sports posted a graphic today that was like talent rankings, and it was number of five-star prospects on the roster, and Oregon has like 8, and James Madison has 0. And then it was like four-star prospects, and Oregon has like 39, and James Madison has like 4. And then it was like other. Oregon has like 38, and James Madison has like 68. It was like, if only they had considered the other category. James Madison got him beat here.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Stuff like that has been very funny. Yeah. Shout out to the Dukes. Good luck.
It's going to be a tough night for PFT commenter, I think. Yeah.
Look. What would you really be bothered if this were Virginia Tech in this spot? If Virginia Tech got the 12 magically and like got eviscerated by Oregon for 4 quarters, but you're in the playoff.
Playoff revenue, baby.
There you go.
More money lining our pockets.
That's, you know, that's,
you could only be so mad as a Dukes fan. Yeah, it is. It is what the sport's all about. And like you said, you can only be so mad if you're the Dukes. That's made right. The college football playoff. Bob Chesney, it's a peaceful transfer of power with one Billy Napier.
Oh, this is Billy Napier coming in here, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he'll probably do fine.
DJ Lagway. The possibility nobody's thinking about.
There is a Lagway with
I kind of like major. the whatever. I haven't looked at the first half line or the first quarter, but I could see like 7-0, or yeah, and then quickly be like 42-10. You know,
I mean, we've got like 20 minutes till we get to Sicko's picks here, Scott. If you know, you got some a little bit of time to do some research.
You know what, Joseph? They don't call you an idiot.
You must have been listening to the wrong people, because some of them do. You know. A lot of them do. No, honestly. That's all I got in the playoff, Mike. Anything else before we get into other ACC bowl games?
Let's talk about the other ACC bowl games.
Let's do it. Let's go to Friday night, Friday afternoon. This will be at 2:30 on ESPN from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. It is the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. I didn't really roll Gasparilla. There we go. Roll the L. It is the NC State Wolfpack taking on the Memphis Tigers. NC State, a 3.5-point favorite here. Totals 56.5. I heard a stat earlier. Dave Doran has lost 5 bowl games in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Memphis is going to be without a coach here. I don't know. Like,
you tell me Charles Huff ain't going to coach the bowl game? What?
I mean, usually probably not. He'll probably be there like to watch or something. But
this is a joke. I know.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, you say that. I hear people sometimes say like, wait, is he going to coach? Like, is James Franklin going to coach against Virginia in Charlottesville? It's like, no.
Look, I'm not the biggest ball knower, but I at least know that amount of ball. Okay.
Fair enough. If you know what's going to happen here, Mike, good luck to you. I would not touch this with a 10-foot pole from a betting standpoint.
Land with the team. Oh, okay. Under. I'm sorry to interrupt.
56.5.
Hell yeah. Let's just lock some stuff up. You know what? Double barrel.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Double barrel.
What the hell?
Look, you want to play the under in a Memphis game? Have at it. It's all buddy. Yours, not me.
Buddy, interim coach, you know, all that good stuff.
Do you remember the last time that Memphis got a stop on defense? Neither do I. That team does not play defense, ever.
Alternatively, NC State's offense.
Which, at this moment, as we record... What are we, like 13 hours before the game, something like that? We're just assuming that CJ Bailey's playing in this game, right?
Hollywood Smothers is not. Like, there's some pieces.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. assuming no Hollywood Smothers, potential for no CJ Bailey. I don't know, man. I have fun. Should be a fun watch, I think. And this is a good setting for a bowl game too, by the way. Good for NC State getting to go to Tampa. And this is a good matchup against a pretty good AAC team. This is one of those where, honestly, if I'm an NC State fan, I'm like, why is this on December 19th and not, you know, something in a little bit more of a prime bowl season slot? But hey, good on the Wolfpack. Should be a fun watch. Good luck to them against the Tigers.
I agree. Best of luck.
I guess Lamb with NC State and over. Sure.
Lamb under.
Maybe a live betting situation. Once you know who's playing and who's not. And this could also turn into a CJ Bailey opts out at halftime situation that we saw with Cam Ward last year. Like, who knows?
watch the backup. We'll watch the backup. Like, complete four passes and you lose the game. And then everybody will cry wolf about team skipping bowl games again.
Yep.
Can't wait, baby. It's so broken. It's so over with bowl games. It sucks.
Do you remember how, by the way, you want to know how broken the whole, and not just the bowl system, you want to know how broken this whole sport is? You know who Texas A&M's leading receiver is?
Casey Concepcion.
Moving on to, what is it, Tuesday, December the 23rd on ESPN. Sorry, NC State. Yeah, that's, I see you. I feel you. I get it. 2:00 ESPN, Tuesday, December the 23rd. It is the, okay, hang on. It is the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans, we said. Did I get that right?
Boom, baby.
All right, sweet.
We did it.
It's the Louisville Cardinals taking on the Toledo Rockets. Louisville, a 6.5-point favorite here. Totals 45.5, excuse me. Look, first of all, if you want to trust Louisville in a bowl game being played at 2:00 on the Tuesday before Christmas, good luck. I mean, it's been hilarious to me, honestly, the last week or so is, like, I haven't seen a peep about Miller Moss being out, and he's got eligibility left, and there's no objective reason to think that, like, he definitely won't be at Louisville next year. But, oh, DJ Lagway, interested in ACC school. It's Louisville, and Louisville looking for maybe Bo Perbula out of Missouri, and, like, they're like outwardly searching for portal quarterbacks again, yeah. Despite the fact they've got one on the roster who's still got eligibility left. That's where we're at with Louisville right now. By the way, Toledo's quarterback, Tucker Gleason, our old friend from Dave Patnode's Georgia Tech offense under one Jeffrey Collins, which, you know, sorry for reminding all the people of that. Yeah. I think Lamb with Louisville, I don't think that motivation will be good here, but I think their defense will probably play well enough to suppress a Toledo offense here. I think this would be an embarrassing loss for Louisville if they didn't win this game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I'm going to Lamb, but I am also not feeling particularly good about it, mostly because they're only a 6.5-point favorite against Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks have had a fine year, but come on.
Yeah.
Get real. Also, if you're on Toledo, you're probably on the under 45.5 in like a normal everybody's playing scenario. But in a normal everybody's playing scenario, Louisville's probably laying closer to 10, maybe more. So,
yeah. Well, I was going to say, I don't, even in this, you know, potentially depleted roster situation, I don't see Toledo scoring more than, what, 28 points here or something? Like,
yeah,
to your point, Mike, if you think that they cover, or certainly if you think that they win, it's probably a lower scoring kind of situation. I don't see the Rockets going up and down the field on Louisville in this game. One thing I will say from a handicapping standpoint, and something that worth considering, I don't know how many people know this, is Louisville, for being in the northern part of Kentucky, has a very healthy recruiting connection in Florida, and has historically had a lot of players that have come out of Florida. So guys playing in Boca Raton, you might have some family there, guys looking to, you know, play well, show out, like that kind of thing. Worth considering a Louisville team if you're wondering how motivated they will or will not be. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Teddy Bridgewater, Devontae Parker. They've had a lot of guys come out of South Florida over the years. I think that was a Howard Schnellenberger thing from long, long ago, that he kind of set up that pipeline. And I mean, even especially like Charlie Strong was a big proponent of said pipeline. So anyways, that's a Louisville history minute for you.
The history we didn't know we needed.
The history you didn't need that I've just given to you anyways. Welcome to the show.
It was beautiful. We got recruiting ground coverage. We got old coaches thrown into the mix. We had, that was
Howard Schnellenberger.
A Howard Schnellenberger reference. All while you're wearing that Christmas hat.
That's right. That almost fits on my head. That's for the people watching on the YouTube.
That resembles something that I already mentioned to you that we're not going to mention again. Yeah. That's for the Discord.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. If you want to find out what we're joking about, go find the Discord. Mike, we got a few other newsy items to get into. Should we work on getting towards those?
Let's move on to the news.
Breaking
news. Well, before we can do that, we got to remind the people this show brought to you by section103.com.
It is. We're at the 46 minute mark after midnight. So it is what it is.
It's been a week. We're like a week till Christmas. I'm so tired.
We got playoff games on Cinemax, you said earlier.
Yeah.
You did not say that.
I pronounced that one right. Yeah. I pronounced that one right. Section103.com, the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Clemson apparel, it turns out. Go find it all, section103.com. They've got polos, they've got t-shirts, they've got hats. Everything looks fantastic. It is officially licensed, official word marks, all the proper colors. They've got some local references as well. They've got a Howard's Rock shirt. They've got a Clemson Blue Cheese shirt. Still waiting on somebody to explain that one to me. If you've got it, please send it to me. I would appreciate that. Go find it all. Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Clemson, Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, Georgia Southern, LSU, South Florida. Lots of different schools showing up on section103.com. That's because the quality is so good. They are so soft. They feel fantastic. They last. Highly recommended. Go find it all. One more time, section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. I'm going to say this here, by the way, because I know that my brother-in-law is not going to be listening, but I had an order show up today from Section 103 in time for Christmas. I think by the time you're listening to this, you might be a little bit too late, but I went and bought Section 103 for my brother-in-law for Christmas.
Oh, did you?
Highly recommended doing that. Yeah, it's good gift material. It's fantastic. They might even like such a Feliz Bobby Dodge shirt like the one I'm wearing. So go find it there.
The fact your brother-in-law doesn't listen to this podcast and my brother-in-law is producing it, you know, there are levels to this shit. Levels to it.
So what I was going to say was I didn't get my brother-in-law Section 103 for Christmas. He's right here. Sorry, Mike.
Why not?
It's okay. We decided, mostly because we decided that we're just buying the kids gifts.
Smart.
Scott and I will drink bourbon and watch them open gifts. They'll be fine.
Have you guys done the same thing?
Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah. So have either of you with your respective brothers-in-law done the thing that I did with my brother-in-law and my dad, that we started an annual Christmas bourbon exchange?
Well, that would literally just be us, because
that's just called Saturday in our house.
I meant like I don't have a brother-in-law that's not Mike, and he doesn't have another one that's not me. So, yeah.
That's just what we do.
That's what I was getting at, but yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Highly recommended. It's a good way to get a couple of nice bottles of bourbon every year. And, you know, we'll talk about it later on the Discord.
Is that going to the Sickos channel?
It might. It might. You never know. All right. Newsy stuff. Things that we haven't really hit on this show. I'm pretty sure we haven't hit on this yet. James Franklin announced his coordinator hires at Virginia Tech, or at least he announced one of them. And I am like beside myself. Like this is like living in a simulation level territory. James Franklin's defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech, if you didn't know it, is a man named Brent Pry. And if you didn't know, it is the exact same man who Virginia Tech like 2 months ago paid millions of dollars to go away. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to, am I understanding this right? They're going to continue paying him millions of dollars to go away and now pay him like another $1 million to come back.
TBD.
How all that's going to shake out?
TBD with that. Yeah. That's what I would say.
When I first heard about this, I thought it was actually kind of cool, because it sounded like to me, like he's owed $6.5 million from the buyout. Now, how that mm-hmm. works out, according to Mike, is to be determined. But from what I first understood, I was like, that's a free defensive coordinator. Let's go spend the rest of the money somewhere else, because that $6.5 million. It's already earmarked and like planned for in a separate budget, I'm assuming. I don't know. I mean, it's really not that surprising. And when you think about it, like he was going to probably hire him if he went to any other school. It's just weird, right? Because it's just weird because of the situation. Yeah.
That was my takeaway. It's weird because there's 135 other FBS schools, and this is the one that he's going to come be the defensive coordinator at, is specifically this one that 2 months ago fired him. And like, would I want Brent Pry as my defensive coordinator at XYZ school? Hell yeah, I would. Like, good defensive mind, good recruiter. Like, I don't have a problem with any of this. It's just the absurdity of this one school that fired him is now where he's going back. That's where I'm at.
Yep. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense from the James Franklin standpoint. This is your guy. This is your defensive coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a revolving door is the word I was looking for. It's late. It was a revolving door defensive coordinator for a variety of reasons. Since Brent Pry left, right? Brent Pry leaves for Virginia Tech. What does Franklin do at Penn State? Hires Manny Diaz. Diaz does a good job, leaves after a year, right? Hires Tom Allen. Went okay. They made the, you know, they made a college football playoff semi, right? And the defense was pretty good all year. But the relationship, a little bit of friction there. Tom Allen leaves. Okay, Jim Knowles. Makes sense on paper. Ohio State just won the national title. You're bringing in their defensive coordinator that didn't get along that great with Ryan Day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Bring him in. Offense looked mid. Defense gave up a bunch of points. Jim Knowles was part of the reason you just got fired. So if you're Brent Pry, you're like, I need somebody who I know is probably going to stick around for a little bit. And I think Brent Pry is your guy. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He can recruit. He knows Virginia Tech. He knows a lot of the roster. He reestablished relationships in Virginia from a recruiting standpoint. All those people still like him. The donors still really like Brent Pry. It wasn't a ugly exit by any means. It just didn't work out. Brent Pry is probably wishing he had the kind of NIL bag that James Franklin just got, but one of you is James Franklin and one of you is not, right? So that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. Pry's got no ego. Obviously, he doesn't have an ego, right? Because if he did, he would probably not be taking this position. Yeah. So, hope it works out. Very weird, though.
Yeah. It's Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It is an odd situation, but I get it. I get it. So just kind of a funny thing, the way this all works out. And again, like, oh, now Brent Pry gets his former employer to negotiate with his new employer on how much buyout they're going to pay. And that turns out that's a very small meeting. There's only a few people involved. So, yeah. Strange situation, but strangely not unprecedented, because if I'm not mistaken, was it last year or this year that Zach Arnett was fired by Mississippi State as head coach and now is back as defensive coordinator? Like,
he's officially two full seasons removed, but the end of the second season just happened, right? This was the end of Jeff Lebby's second season. So it's like, haven't been that long.
Yeah. Yep. So wanted to bring that up. Can't say it's a bad hire. I think it's a good one. Just an odd situation.
Odd.
So other coaching news. Georgia Tech offensive coordinator Buster Faulkner leaving, headed to Florida to join John Summerall and his new staff. This has, to some degree, this move has maybe incited a little bit of unrest in the Georgia Tech fan base, but
yeah, I'd say, because he's a damn good coordinator.
He has been. And I mean, it was a year ago that he's been getting a ton of accolades nationally, and a guy who has been considered for head coaching jobs and all that. So like, it was one of those things, you know, I up until probably early mid October, I was fully prepared that, like, for a year or more, I was like, this is going to be the last year of Faulkner. Our guy Kelly Quinlan had talked about how his son was a senior in high school this fall. He wanted to stay in the Atlanta area until his son graduated high school and then was, you know, all, you know, his fair game going anywhere else. So I was fully prepared after this year he was going to be gone. And then it seemed like in early November, I was seeing a couple things that maybe he's not really all that determined to leave, and, you know, it would really have to be the right head coaching opportunity or whatever. And then it seemed like it kind of sprung up pretty quickly that John Summerall took the Florida job and targeted Buster Faulkner, which on some level you kind of get that Florida would want the offensive coordinator who has given Georgia's defense problems the last couple of years. Thematically.
Yeah.
So he makes that move. You kind of get it. It's unfortunate. He's been really good for Georgia Tech. And you know, you hope that Brent Key can replace him mostly in kind. But you know, we'll find out. The bigger thing I think that has kind of driven people nuts is that now it quickly seems like they have not hit it off at all with DJ Lagway. He is going to be out at Florida. He's transferring where to be determined, but
Louisville
in about 24 hours. Yeah, hey, you know, hey, come on.
Yep.
But within 24 hours, now Aaron Filo is transferring from Georgia Tech. So where you thought you had Haynes King graduating this year and Aaron Filo coming in to be your starter next year, maybe not. Maybe he's headed to Gainesville. And so a lot of consternation in the fan base with that, because especially what we understand is that Georgia Tech was willing to offer the same amount of pay to Aaron Filo that Florida was willing to offer. And yet he says, doesn't matter, I'm going to leave and go play in the SEC and play for Buster, which is a tough pill to swallow and not great. But I think, I guess my big takeaway here, I think if there was ever any doubt, this officially closes what I would consider like act one of Brent Key at Georgia Tech. He, you know, this has been 3 years where he hired Buster Faulkner. They brought in Haynes King. They built it up. They had a pretty good year. They, you know, got into November as like playoff contenders, like had a good thing. Now you've lost your coordinator. By the way, your offensive line coach is going to Nebraska. You've got other staff kind of scattering. You've got a bunch of seniors graduating. So like, this was kind of a peak moment, and now it's going to drop down a little bit, and we're going to have to see what act two looks like starting next year. go get either a quarterback out of the portal, or can you develop one? Who's your offensive coordinator going to be? Like, can you rebuild your staff to a certain degree? All that. So that's kind of the way that I think about this. And as much as everyone thinks a lot of key, I think, and what, you know, you look at the trajectory that they've been on the last couple of years, they've won more games and built it out of the absolute pit of despair that Jeff Collins had them in a few years ago, you know, all that stuff. Like, it all looks good, but we're 3 years in. So the real trick now is, can you sustain it and rebuild it and keep it going? So we will see.
Yeah, this next hire is a really important one at offensive coordinator for Key, right?
Agree.
For all the reasons you just mentioned, right? I mean, kind of unprecedented offensive success when you think about it. I mean, this was a situation where Georgia Tech was kind of trying to find a real identity offensively post Paul Johnson option offense. Like, they've been searching for it, right? They've been searching. Jeff Collins didn't work out. Like, you hire Key, kind of an off-cycle hire, not sure how it's going to work out. You bring in Faulkner, everything works out great, like better than anticipated. And now you have to replace that guy who is also bringing a bunch of staff with him. Like, we talk about bringing Aaron Filo potentially with him, right? But then there's also, you're going to bring a bunch of staff with you too. So it's not only replacing Key, it's replacing all the staff underneath them, which is inevitable when a coordinator of Faulkner's stature, right? Because a lot of these guys too, right? They're following Faulkner, not just for the Florida job, but for the job that Faulkner's going to get. Like, he's going to be getting a head coaching job, and those staffers want to be in position where they can advance in their careers, right? Or maybe they can make more money somewhere, be a position coach making more money, right? Be a coordinator under Faulkner when he's the head coach. That's why these guys are following Faulkner around. Plus, you have an opportunity to join John Summerall, right? And if Faulkner leaves for a head coaching job, maybe you have opportunity to move up on his staff. So I get it. I do get it. Like, I get the jump because of the future of Faulkner. I get why a bunch of people are leaving. And I don't even think it's necessarily a loyalty thing to Brent Key or a lack thereof. I think it's more of like, we see where Faulkner's going, and there's opportunity for us to kind of grow with him, right? I think that's the case for a lot of the position coaches. Now, who's Key going to hire? I have no idea. Right. Is the offensive coordinator going to be better than what you just had with Faulkner? I think that would probably be a little unrealistic given what he's been the last few years. Now, can you still get a guy that's good, solid? It's not a major step back. Of course you can. Like, Georgia Tech's spending enough in NIL and spending enough on their staff under Key, and they had the ad investment in Key, right? That came with the contract extension he just signed. There's going to be enough there to hire a good offensive coordinator to replace Faulkner. I think it's, from Key's standpoint, it's a matter of just not having this coordinator hire flop, which he's done a pretty good job hiring his coaching staffs, right? So, like, I think Georgia Tech fans should be cautiously optimistic given his short but successful hiring history that he's going to get this one right. But it's a very important hire, and then position coaches are also, you know, all that more important, right? Because you're replacing so many guys, affects recruiting. We talk about the on-field stuff all the time, but the recruiting's a big part of it too.
I don't know if you saw, I think it was late last week, I don't know if you saw who they fairly publicly brought in for an interview for offensive coordinator.
I did not.
Recently fired head coach of the Raiders, Chip Kelly, was brought in. So he interviewed for that job. And
I
realized that I would be a little surprised if that happens. I think some of that might be, I don't know, call it posturing or something. Like, you know, there's a certain sense of legitimacy, I think, that you kind of show about yourself if Chip Kelly is interested in your coordinator job. I saw some people that were like, absolutely not, don't want that guy, he can't recruit, like all that. First of all, I don't know how much your coordinators are expected to recruit in this day and age in college football. And by the way, recruiting in general, importance of, you know, building relationships, I think, is at least a little bit diminished in the age of how much can we pay guys?
Yeah.
And then on the other end of that, if you think that Chip Kelly is still running the 2010 Oregon offense, the blur or whatever, like, I would invite you to go watch what he ran at Ohio State last year, what he ran with the Eagles and with the 49ers in the NFL. Like, it is a more matured, like, semi-normal looking, you know, somewhat run heavy game, which on that level makes sense that Brent Key might be interested in him, because that's what Brent Key wants to do, I think, is run the ball,
yeah,
as he would tell you. So
Chip Kelly's one of those guys who, like, only knows football, but, like, wouldn't be, I didn't mean that. That came out horribly. I didn't. All
no,
I meant was
no.
Like,
I think you nailed it. Like,
from, I meant from, like, a lifestyle standpoint, not like the guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah,
so yeah, like, that guy came out worse than I wanted to. But what I'm saying is, like, he's had so many of these jobs, right? He's head coaching, offensive coordinator, college, very successful. Obviously, head coaching stint in college, successful. Head coaching with the Eagles, it wasn't a total disaster. It flamed out at the end, but wasn't a, like, total disaster. You know, the OC role with the Raiders, it's like, okay, they're horrible. That wasn't really your fault. That was just kind of like, you know, you were kind of left holding the bag. Okay. At what point
he
is
was
it too
the OC
much
for the Raiders? I said head coach, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine. Pete Carroll's a head coach. I don't get that either. He's, buddy, you're 75. Hang it up. All right. Do something else. Same with Belichick, same with all these people. Yeah. Go golf. What are you guys doing? Freaking trillionaires, you can play Pebble whenever you want. Like, what are we doing? Chip Kelly's gotta be 60, right?
Hold on, I just had his Wikipedia up. Close to it.
Close to it.
62. Yeah.
Yeah.
62.
Like, what are we doing, Chip? You don't have to do this. You don't have to go be the OC. Nothing against Georgia Tech, Joey, but, like, you don't have to go be the OC at Georgia Tech. There's nothing left to prove.
No, yeah. 1000%. Like, or anywhere. Why are you the OC for the Raiders this year? Like, go play golf.
That's what I'm saying. You just won the Natty. Like, okay, congrats on the bag you just secured with the Raiders. But, like, now you're fired. You could have just stayed at Ohio State, and Day would have probably kept you around for a while.
Yeah. We'll see where that ends up. I'm sure there are other coordinator hires that we need to talk about. They're not coming to my mind right now, and we're an hour and 6 minutes into the show, Mike. If last thing I have actually that is related to assistance, and this might be like an ongoing situation, is, and that's probably a strong term for what I'm actually getting at here, is Syracuse defensive coordinator Elijah Robinson was demoted by Fran Brown, I think, to defensive line coach. They're going to find a new DC. Then there were rumors that E-Rob was going to be hired by LSU to join Lane Kiffin's staff. But now I'm seeing a lot of back and forth that, like, that might not be true. It hasn't really been announced. So it seems like it's up in the air. To the bigger point here, probably Fran Brown dumped most of his staff after this year, which seems a little extreme, a year where things were going really, really well, and then your quarterback had a season-ending injury and everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Like, is that the coach's problem, or, like, did you have a massive exhaust port situation on the roster that all of a sudden everything fell apart?
That was my point, too. Like, you're coaching at Syracuse also, so, like, you can't necessarily replenish the players as fast as they're leaving, and you're not going to build depth in a way that you can at some of these, you know, blue bloods. Yeah. So how much of this is your coaching staff's fault? How much of this is, like, your fault as a head coach versus, oh, yeah, we had a really talented roster. They had a really good year. And then literally all of our contributors left. Oh, and then the starting quarterback that we got from Notre Dame, the transferred in, that was a pretty highly rated recruit who was playing well for us early in the season, blew out his Achilles, like, before the calendar turned to October. Okay.
In the process of beating Clemson in Death Valley.
Right. Maybe that's why you went, whatever it was, 2-10, 3-9, whatever it ended up being.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what Fran ends up doing there with the coaching staff. I haven't seen a ton of updates, but keep me honest. Let me know in the Discord if what I'm missing here, if there's been announcements on who is joining that staff.
Scott, I just thought of something. For Fran Brown next year, we need a shower sound. I'm not talking like a sandbox.
Like running water?
I'm talking like running water, yeah.
Oh, for the...
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying, Mike.
Just making sure everybody's on the same page. It's late. Just want to make sure.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, like I said, no, thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that.
Yep.
All right.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, you know. Okay.
We got some other questionable sounds. Okay. It's not like completely out of the realm of possibility.
Not that I can think of any, but
right.
There's probably one or two if I had to think.
Right. Correct.
All right. Transfer portal announcements mentioned Aaron Filo, backup for Georgia Tech, who was the presumed starter for next year. Hollywood Smothers for NC State is in the portal. Sure, there will be some more. We'll add to that list as we go on. Just wanted to bring those up. That's all I've got, I think, Mike, on this episode. Is there anything else that we need to do or talk about before we get out of here? Oh, goodness.
I don't care. I'm a sickness.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Is there? Santa sickos
been
over
waiting
here.
For this.
Yeah, he's been waiting for it.
Okay, gents. Went 1-3, but that one, baby. The Hens. Head up. Also, I would have got the Army Navy second quarter under 9.5 at the plus money if that freaking Army drive would have ended two plays sooner instead of ending in the second quarter. So
otherwise, 0-1 on second quarter bets.
I think I've got three lined up. Now, Mike, I did have a go back for last week. So I know I tracked myself at 1-3. You had the Xbox Bowl. That game is ongoing, I believe, right now. What did you have in the Xbox Bowl?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Holy hell. Hold on.
Missouri State lost by 6. I know you picked Missouri State. I don't remember. Okay. Were they dogs? I forget.
Where is it? Hang on. Is that not in here somewhere?
I can tell you. I actually had Arkansas State -1.5.
Bang.
Hey, there you go.
That's a winner. That's a winner.
That's a winner.
We're home.
Game just went final.
I went 3-1 on Sickos.
Let's go.
There we go.
My only loss was Boise +9.5. And man, there are more people in this podcast that were at that game. There was nobody there.
When you're wrong, you're wrong.
Holy cow. Was I ever.
I think I was 2-1, Scott, right?
We have the Celebration Bowl. You definitely won that one. You're on the Hens on the field. The Hens won on the field last night. And I don't remember what your other pick was, Joey. But
I think I had Troy minus something in a game that they lost to Jacksonville State.
Yeah. Okay. I'll actually keep track of these this week. I'll write them all down. But all right. So level setting for the listeners out there. These Sickos picks are from any games happening from today, which the start of this recording was on the 18th, through Tuesday the 23rd, I believe, as we call it. So any game in there is eligible for Sickos, playoff games included. So I don't know if either of you are ready. But
I'm ready.
Well, Joey, lead us off.
Well, let me do that.
Don't mind if I do.
Well, Scott, what time do you think you can get this show released to the people?
Audio will be released no later than 2 a.m. and video will be go publish on YouTube at 7 a.m.
Oh, perfect. Because at 11 a.m. in the Myrtle Beach Bowl, we've got the Kennesaw State Owls
taking on
the Michigan State Broncos and hootie hoo.
The Michigan State Broncos.
Western Michigan State. That is what I said?
That Good was Lord. Man, that was not right.
It is late. I need Christmas break really badly. Western Michigan Broncos. That's where we're at. Owls catching 3 in Conway. Hootie hoo, baby. What, Kennesaw State going for 11 wins this year? Give me the Owls.
Jerry outright. Mack.
Win the game in Conway. Sickos pick number one. Pick number two, you're going to see a pattern here, by the way. The old Tulane University Green Wave, I don't know if you heard about this. They're on the road at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, taking on the Ole Miss Rebels. Team total is, give me a second to do some math. let's see, what are we at? 28. Oh, goodness. 19 or so. Team total under for Tulane in that game. Team total under 9. I'm going to go with 19, but whatever it ends up being, 18 and a half or 19 and a half or whatever. Give me the under for Tulane in that game. And then after that, I don't know if you heard, but the James Madison Dukes are playing the Oregon Ducks in Autzen Stadium in Oregon. Team total for James Madison is probably like 13 and a half. Give me the under on that as well. I don't really know what the number is on either one of them. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know why that's like a hard thing to find right now, but team total under in both of those playoff games for Tulane and James Madison. Those are my three sickos picks.
It's 19 and a half right now for Tulane. I can't see JMU because I am in the state of Virginia.
Weird laws.
We have weird rules here.
Yeah. Let's see if we can find one real quick. Under team total for both of those for me.
Bang.
Beauty. Want me to go next, Scott, or you got?
Sure, Michael.
We're going to go double barrel with Kennesaw State. Whoa. Money line. Let's
double
just do that.
Barrel.
There we go. Beauty. Nice pick, Joey.
Thanks.
Very good. Western Kentucky is playing Southern Miss in some bowl. what bowl
the
game
Superdome.
Is
the
Superdome. Yeah.
In the New Orleans Bowl.
The New Orleans Bowl. Thank you. Neither one of those teams plays a lick of defense. Give me over 57 and a half. That's too few by at least a field goal. That game's going to finish in the 60s. Famous last words. UNLV is playing Ohio, Joey. I don't know if you heard about this scandal with one Brian Smith.
yeah,
he's in.
I did.
He's just in a smidge of trouble for drinking in his office and banging at least one undergrad.
Allegedly, sounds a little bit legally ambiguous. We'll come back to that later.
I don't think it's allegedly, brother. The article I read is he admitted it, so I don't think that's alleged at all.
Nah, that. Yeah,
I saw some creative legal defenses being put out by his attorney that. It's like, well, I was already getting divorced anyway, so.
Bet you were, buddy. You were.
Important handicapping.
Anyway, when a school is paying you millions of dollars, and there's also a buyout clause in there for you to go away if the team's really bad, and that's the only reason why they fire you. It's essentially like a golden parachute. I can't believe I have to explain this, but I guess I do with the last couple firings that cycle. It's called a golden parachute where they pay you millions of dollars to go away and like literally just go play golf or drink, mm-hmm. whatever. Brian Smith seems like he's into drinking.
I was going to say, so, he has one of those preferences, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he plays golf. I don't know. But we know he drinks at least. Probably not. Anyway, the thing that's in your contract that says, like, don't sleep with people you're working with, just don't violate that. But I will say he one-up Sharon Moore, at least. In a good way, not a bad way. You can one-up Sharon Moore in a bad way as well if you want to, it turns out. Anyway, all that to say, we're laying him with UNLV. My 6.5. Because, buddy, what the hell's Ohio been doing? What, they've been practicing? Clear mind? Yeah. Give me a break. And finally,
There's some reference about something about where you eat that I don't think Brian Smith ever heard, but I'll find that out later. I don't know.
I know the saying. If you'd like me to repeat it, let's go to the FCS.
Yes.
I don't think you remember either.
Let's go to the FCS, baby.
Let's go to the FCS.
Yes.
Let's go to the FCS. I think I've done enough on this podcast from an inappropriate comment standpoint. I think we'll just go to the FCS game. Villanova's catching 2.5 against Illinois State, and there's no reason for Villanova to even be here at this point, but they continue to just win these football games. They're a 2.5-point home favorite. Scott turned me on to this one. Pause.
Home dog.
Sorry, excuse me. Home dog. 2.5-point home dog. Give me Villanova on the field. They're going to the national championship. They're going to get slaughtered, but they're going to the national championship. Doesn't matter who they play next week.
Hold on. Oh, okay. Yes. First of all, good pick. Second of all, I'm staring at the FCS game before that is at 4:00 on ABC, the Brawl of the Wild.
The real national championship in the FCS this year is the semifinal game, that one in particular. Yeah.
To go to the national title, it is Montana State for the second time this year. And
yeah,
if you know anything about FCS ball, that is a banger.
That's a bang. That's FCS one ball. Of the games of the weekend. Yeah.
I was going to float that as potential actual game of the weekend, including all the playoff games.
I was going to say.
And then I was like, hold on. How the hell is this game on ABC? What else is on ABC? Oh, nope. Sorry. The other two playoff games are on TNT. I forgot about that part. So
yeah,
watch this game on ABC instead of the other two playoff games, I think, if I'm giving a good TV to watch.
ESPN doesn't want the two playoff games to go up against the NFL, but they'll happily put the FCS game on to go up against the NFL, even though the FCS game might be the best one of the weekend. So that's going to work out great for ESPN potentially, because I think a lot of people, if you know ball, like that meme, be watching that game.
If you want to go to this game at Bobcat Stadium in Bozeman, Montana, tickets as low as $654.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything about how big that game is.
It's the natty. It's not, but it is. It's functionally the national championship for the FCS.
In comparison, if you're just chilling in Philly this weekend, you can get into Villanova, Illinois State for a whopping Andrew Jackson. $20.
My oh my, that is a lot different than the other one.
Yeah. Well, a lot going on in Montana these days, but you know, $654 either way. I mean, it all spends the same.
That's an entire mortgage payment, Montana.
That's right.
All right.
My turn. Scott. Oh, go for it, Scott.
Yeah. All right. So great picks, gentlemen. I had my eyes on a lot of those as well. First off, I'm going to go to the New Orleans Bowl. So Mike was talking about the over there. I'm on the Hilltoppers, Western Kentucky -3 over Southern Miss. I'm pretty sure Southern Miss was in one of my sickos earlier this season. They're bad. How do they have 7 wins? I don't think they're that good. Maybe because they're in
Charles Huff, Blake Anderson.
Oh yeah.
Let's go, baby.
Their coach left and it's something. So give me the Hilltoppers to cover the 3 points in the New Orleans Bowl. And then I'm also going to join Mike on his other two picks. UNLV -6.5 for all the reasons that Mike said. That seems like a little messed up situation. That's in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. We're going to double barrel up in the Scooters Coffee.
Double barrel.
And then, yes, we're going back to the FCS. And, yes, we are on Villanova. Home dogs. I don't know why they're home dogs. Like, they're not supposed to be there, but Illinois State is also not supposed to be there. So, like, they were supposed to lose a few weeks ago to North Dakota State, and then they've just been rattling off away wins.
Buddy.
So, give me the Wildcats. I was on the Wildcats a few weeks back against Lehigh. That came home on the field. Give me the Wildcats. And that was it for me. So, we got two double barrels
double
there.
Double barrel.
And that's your sickos picks of the week, buddy, for bowl week 2.
Buddy, if you don't think Illinois State and Villanova should be there, wait until you see next week. Oh my God.
Whoever wins gets slaughtered by
speaking
Montana
of
and or Montana
there,
State.
The national title game is going to be like a 3-touchdown spread, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Montana State might be the new North Dakota State, South Dakota State situation.
Yeah, like, yeah, it feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Feels that way. I remember the Brian Smith saying, do you want me to say it now?
I mean, we're real deep into the show. Yeah, why not? Go ahead.
We're good. Yeah. I'll keep just in case there are any kids up past their bedtime. Don't poop where you eat, is the saying.
Something like that. Yeah.
A little more explicit.
It could be modified to fit, you know, whatever you're really
genre,
trying to get across.
Age group.
That's right. That's right. What, hold on. What was the other thing? So you mentioned the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Yes.
I think it's one of two bowl games being played at the world famous Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas.
Extra money for old Jerry.
Yeah, right. Like, what? Look, as a Houston guy, I might be a little bit biased, but Dallas is not heaven on earth. We'll say that. So,
wait, is the Ford Center at the Star the Cowboys practice facility?
Correct.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
Correct.
The one they use during the season. The one they use in the spring is out in LA, actually. So, you know, shout out to right. Jera.
Go on, Jera.
His taxes must be a bitch.
You think that guy pays taxes?
He lives in Texas, so he doesn't pay income tax.
We don't have state income tax. That's, well, yeah, we got property tax. That you can more than write home about, trust me.
But, I was about to say, they make up for it in other ways. The taxes never goes away. The money just gets distributed differently.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You'll be totally unsurprised to find out they get your money one way or the other. Anyways, on that note, that's all I've got. Anything else while we're here? You can
more than write home about was a hell of a way to put it.
That's another story for the Discord. Go join us there. Links in the description.
They are.
Should be a fun place to join and be part of the community around the people on this show. And even if you're not able to be in the comments, you know, we go live late at night or the whole thing. Like, we'd love to have you as part of the chat in the Discord. So come find us there.
The show hasn't gotten me canceled yet, but the Discord might.
They're trying. They're trying every day, Mike. We're one day closer.
Yep.
Let's get out of here. Let's go watch some games. We're going to come back. We're going to preview the next round of bowl games. I don't know if we'll preview all of the rest of them, but certainly the next chunk of them. Like, half the ACC's bowl games are all on December 27th, which is kind of obnoxious. Like, I feel like for years we've done this where it's like we have one on the 26th and one on the 27th and one on the 28th and one on the 29th. And this year it's like, oh, they're all on the 27th. And then you got 4 days off and then we're on the 31st. So anyways, we'll come back and preview the next chunk of them at some point soon. I think early next week, probably. And potential recap of, you know, the Miami A&M playoff game and more. So keep it tuned here. YouTube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast, iTunes, Amazon, Google, wherever you go find your podcast, go find us there. Hit the subscribe button. We'd appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like button, hit the bell icon. You'll be notified when we're going to go live next. Send us an email, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Appreciate it.
That's where we'll be hearing from our sponsors.
Likewise. Yeah, for sure. For sure we will. At FTRS Joey, at Mike McDaniel, SI, at BC Podcast, ACC on Twitter. Please do support our sponsors before we get canceled by them, because, you know, we're just entirely inappropriate in the way that we go about our business. It's all in the description. You're probably done buying your holiday gifts by now, but if not, please use the promo codes. And even if you are and you just want to go buy some more stuff, go use the promo codes in the description. We'd appreciate that. Mike, Scott, anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
Join the Discord. It should
join
be fun.
Discord.
Please
subscribe to the channel. Join the Discord.
Hell yeah. We'd appreciate
links
that.
Below. If you're listening to audio, the link I have added there as well. You can just click the Discord. It'll be bolded. Just click it and it'll just automatically join you if you have Discord installed on your phone.
Yep. Do that. Highly recommend it. We'll see you there. Mike, Scott, want to go watch some games?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Until next time, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Until next time, hey, go Canes and go ACC.